Well, let's pray before we get started. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people, God. I pray, Father, that you will use me, use my words to make a difference in people's lives, to speak and change hearts like only you can. Thank you, Father. Just fill this place with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I think that last year was awesome. And I hope y'all do too. I'm just going to give you a couple of examples of what I think was so great about it. Our son started kindergarten, and that was kind of like getting a raise because we don't have to pay for daycare anymore. So, that was great. And I even got an actual raise at work. That was a blessing too. Memories and just time spent with friends and family, I enjoyed it. I did. And, you know, this is kind of the time of year when a lot of people think back on what happened last year. But I want to remind you of what God said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43:18-19. He said, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know, Pastor Mark when we first moved into this building, he declared that over us over and over again, even before we moved from the shopping center to here. And I think that God has done some mighty things in this place, but I want to stand up here and tell you tonight that he's not done. He still has work to do. You know, he's a God of increase, of abundance, of multiplication. He's not, think about it this way. Look at what he says. He says, "Behold," he wants to get your attention. It's, "Hey, I will do a new thing." It's not maybe. You got to, you know, really pay attention to this language here. He said it's going to spring forth. To me, that means I'm going to know when it happens. It's not going to sneak up on me like, get in the backyard when I'm asleep and I not know that it happened. It's going to spring forth. When something springs forth, you know, like when you were a kid, maybe you had a jack in the box and you'd turn that thing and it would pop out. And you knew after, when it was over, when it came out, there it was. When God does a new thing, you're going to know about it. So I want to encourage you to look for it. Now, I know some of you may think, well, I don't think last year was all that great. There were these incredible tragedies, tension all over the world, just strife and unrest. And, you know, I would agree with you. Those things aren't good. But we just sang a song that was perfect for this. This is God's universe. He simply spoke and it came into being. Now, if you have a hard time wrapping your mind around that, when you go home tonight, go sit down and start speaking something simple. Make some water. It's not going to happen. I promise you. God is the one with that kind of power. When he spoke, he created the universe that we live in. He is in control of this universe all the time. He has not lost control. He will always be in control. Just like that song said, just surrender to him. Lift your hands to him and say, "God, you're in control. You take care of the things that you can take care of. You give the rest of it to him." There's incredible peace in that, the kind of peace that Jesus wants you to have. So I'm thinking, if God's going to do a new thing, how are we going to see this happen? You know, is there something that we need to do or that we can do? Well, we need to remember we're not in control of this. It's His universe, right? But there are certain ways that we need to think, and things that we can do to be ready and be prepared for the things that the Lord wants to do. So, think about it this way. Was there anything in your life that happened last year that you would say was really good or it was great, and you could classify it as accidental? Just, you know what? I mean, we got in the car to go to the grocery store and ended up at Disney World. I mean, that probably didn't happen, okay? You made a plan. You set out with a goal in mind, and you probably stuck to that plan. And, you know, if things go in your life a lot like they do in mine, if you stayed to the plan, things went pretty good. And if you veered off or just totally abandoned the plan, then, you know, maybe things didn't go so well. So I would sum it up like this. In one word, you are intentional. And I'll illustrate it one other way to you. I really like woodworking. It's one of my favorite hobbies to do. I enjoy building things. But I have that CDO thing. And so I have to build something on the computer. I draw it in a modeling program. And down to every single board, I draw it out. And I like doing this because it allows me to work out any challenges or things that just aren't going to look right when I'm done. You know, sometimes I realize that, you know, things don't line up, or that's the way I like to do it. Not long after we moved into our house, I built a kitchen island. And I did that. I drew this thing out on the computer. Then we even went so far as built kind of like a cardboard mock-up of it and taped it to the floor. It looked awful. It was right in the middle of the kitchen. But we lived around this thing and then decided, okay, we're going to tweak this, move that, and then went back to the computer, and then I built it from there. And that thing was a lot of fun to build, almost a joy. And there's only one thing that most of you wouldn't even notice that I would change after spending all that time to build this and design it. Now, on the other hand, I recently built a bed for our son, James. I was in a hurry. I was trying to design it at the end of a semester of school, and I knew I had to build it over a break in between classes. And so I kind of had an idea, but I didn't work it all out. I wasn't really focused, and I wasn't intentional about the way I did it. I just went, you know what, it's got four posts, and it's going to have a slide, and I got this. I didn't got this. It's there, and it's safe, and he likes it, but it could be a lot better. There's things about it that I still kind of see, and I'm just like, oof, I wish I'd have done that differently. But I got so far into it that I couldn't turn back. I couldn't go, I'll just tear it all down and start over. And it was less than what I expected, than what I had up here, because I didn't take the time to fully plan it out. I don't want 2018 to be less than for you or for me. And so tonight, I want to talk about being intentional this year with a lot of things that we do. And yes, this is when we're intentional, it takes forethought, it takes planning. It's on the front end where you put in a lot of the work, but it pays off later. So the first thing, and you know, maybe in some ways We could put everything under this umbrella, and that's we need to be intentional with our time. We all get the same 24 hours every day, but it's how we spend that time that really makes a difference. You have things that compete for your time, responsibilities and things that need your attention. We even have things that look like responsibilities maybe that really aren't. And we have to be able to wisely discern what it is that is worthy of our time. You know, for me, some days, excuse me, this is can be as simple as I have a mental arrangement of a few things that need to get done that day. And then other days, it's physically a list. Laura is, she's a list maker. And I've learned that from her, that I do well, or better, I guess, when I make lists and, you know, cross things off as I get them done. That's a way to be intentional with how you're going to spend your day. One of the most important ways that you can spend your time is praying and reading this every day. And I know some of you are like, you know what? I am so tired of hearing that. I'm going to tell you, at one point in my life, I was tired of hearing that too, because I had heard it for years. I grew up in church, and I heard people say, you need to read the Bible, and you need to pray every day. And I was like, yeah, I know. One day I'll do that. One day when I did start, however many years ago that was, it absolutely changed me. There is an incredible difference in your life when you intentionally spend your time with your Heavenly Father and build that relationship. It's almost hard to put into words the difference that it makes, but He makes you new. He changes the things that you want. Paul said it like this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And y'all have heard this. When the Bible says all things, it means all of them. That's what... when you get Jesus as Lord of your life, all things are new. It's all different. So that would be the place that I would urge everyone to be just diligently intentional with their time. Guard that and make it an absolute priority every day. Don't waste that time every day. Spend it building a relationship with the Lord. Next, I think we need to be intentional with our love. I never tire of our kids or my wife coming up to me and saying, I love you. It doesn't get old. Every time they say it, it's like it's the first time. And it melts my heart, especially when Nora says it. I don't but, you know, our Heavenly Father is exactly the same way. He wants to know that we love Him. And one of the ways that we can show that is when we worship Him, truly worship Him from our heart, that shows Him, pardon me, the love that we have for Him. He's enthroned on our praises. And that's just, you know, when you come here, just be prepared to praise Him, to love on Him. I mean, you came here hopefully tonight, not to listen to me, but to worship the Lord. You know, if you're married, I doubt that any of you were unintentional with your love for your spouse. Or if you've been married for any length of time, you could probably even look back on your relationship and realize that you have intentionally loved your spouse during that whole time period. You've done things that, you know, maybe were sacrificial. You've done things that made them happy, helped them out. It's, you made an effort. You went out of your way. You were intentional in loving them. And we need to be intentional with our love for Christ. And we also need to be intentional in showing the love of Christ to other people. And this, I mean, we could probably sit here all night and go around the room and all come up with different ways of how I can show the love of Christ to someone. You know, it could be something really simple, like just being gracious to a coworker that maybe did something and caused you an extra hour of work, or forgiving your spouse if they had a long day and they snapped at you about something silly. And, you know, or maybe it's you go out to eat and you buy the family sitting next to you a meal, or you're at the grocery store and you're leaving and you see a mom, she's got three kids and she's got a basket full of groceries. You help her load them in her car. You know, or maybe it's something that's a weightier matter. Maybe it's something more serious, like mourning with someone that's lost a loved one, or helping a family pay their mortgage and make ends meet so they don't lose their home. You know, some of these we could say are small things and some are really big things. But when we love other people in a real and tangible way, the way Christ would love people, it makes a difference. And even if it's not an absolute turning point in their life, at the very least, it's a seed that's planted. And when you plant seeds for the Lord, they reap a harvest. They don't just go unnoticed. You do your part. He says, you know, that we can plant and we can water and we let Him worry about the increase. And He'll take care of that. So I want to encourage you, look for ways that you can do that. Look for ways that you can share and be intentional with the love of Christ in other people. And, you know, and that doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be something that, excuse me, that you force. Just be guided by the Holy Spirit. Live your life surrendered to Him. But always be thinking about, what is it that He wants me to do? Is it, you know, I mean, just ask yourself that question. Is there, you know, is there something He's telling me right now? And be sensitive and expecting to hear from Him. If you're not expecting to hear from Him, He's not going to yell at you, you know, with a big red sign and flashing lights. It's a still, small voice. You know, another way that we need to be intentional is with our giving. And we could do a whole series on that, you know, maybe even the whole year, and talk about giving. Because the Bible talks about money a lot. And I believe that because it's important. And how we handle money makes such a difference in our lives. You know, the Bible, it's full of so many commands about giving, about tithing, but they also come with blessings. They're not just, you have to do this, and, you know, like Bob said tonight, the Lord is, he's a giver, and he does it joyfully, and he wants us to be that way. But to be intentional with your giving, you have to have a plan. You can't just go, well, I got paid the other day. Let me see how I feel when I go to church on Sunday. I might give, or, you know, I might not. Just, you know, kind of maybe how I feel. That's not being intentional. This is what intentional looks like. Our family has a plan. And we say, okay, if we make $1,000, we tithe $100 on that, period. We don't talk about it. We don't go, well, how did you feel this week about tithing, or you think we should, or you think we shouldn't. It happens. It's black and white. There's no questioning that. And then, I know some people get this, just money in church. I know, but listen, when you tithe, it doesn't go to brother so-and-so, and it doesn't go to the First Saints Evangelical Full Gospel at the corner of First and Main Anywhere USA Church. It goes to the Lord. It's His. And when the church gets it, they are stewards of God's money, just as you and I are stewards of the things that He blesses us with. So, you know, if that's somewhere that you struggle with, I'd be happy to talk with you about it and, you know, answer any questions you may have. But when you tithe, it's the Lord's money. So the rest of our plan is any other giving that we do above and beyond tithing, we do it, one, being submitted to the Holy Spirit and listening. If He says, give this to this ministry, this person, or these people, or if He puts us in a certain place and, you know, brings a need to our attention, or, you know, there may be something that comes up and we pray about it. And we make additional giving decisions through prayer and mutual agreement. But the point is that it's intentional. We have a plan that's in place on how to handle the money that the Lord blesses us with. It's not accidental. So, the last part of our life where I think we need to be intentional tonight that I want to talk about is discipleship. And I think that it really all comes down to that. That's really what we could say everything else is about. How we spend our time, how we show our love, and what we do with our giving comes down to discipleship. As Christians, we are disciples of Jesus. We follow Him. Our goal should be to become more like Him every day. Even if it's small, incremental steps, we should be striving to be more like Jesus every single day. But we're also to be about the business of training up new disciples. You know, it's not just about leading someone to the Lord and saying, okay, you prayed a sinner's prayer, excuse me, you're going to heaven, and that's it. We need to intentionally live our lives with other people learning from those that know more than we do, that are examples for us to follow, and teaching others the things that we know so that they can follow us. Now, if we're going to do that, we have to live our lives in such a way that someone else should be following us. You can't live your life, you know, you're one way here at church on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and then you're just another person at work or another person, you know, on Friday night or whatever. It's all the time. And that's when, well, when you live like that, it stands out. People notice. And I'll give you a quick example. I don't know what I did other than other than being changed by Jesus. The people that I used to work with in the oil field, just even guys that I didn't know previously, seemed to know that there was something different about me, that I wasn't going to sit in the living room and watch filthy stuff on TV with them, that I didn't want to, you know, listen to their ridiculous music, and I wasn't going to stay in the room and listen to them talk like a sailor. And a lot of them would act differently around me. And what I'm trying to say to you is that when you are living your life in such a way that it is absolutely for Christ, it's different. People notice. It stands out. Our Lord, you know, He loves people, and He wants others to grow in a relationship with Him. And, you know, to do that, it's our job. He told us in Matthew 28:19, He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." That's, you know, there's only one other verse in Matthew, and then that's it. We call that the Great Commission for a reason, because it's the thing that Jesus wanted us to go do. So, you know, as I said, when we're intentional, if we're going to live 2018 intentionally, it's going to take planning, and it's going to take forethought, effort on our part. But it will pay off in the end. It's something that I would encourage everyone to do. And if you're wondering, well, how do I start that? I would say, humbly seek the Lord's will in prayer. Don't go into this with your own plan, with your own agenda, but seek Him. Spend time, build your relationship with the Lord, and find out from Him what He wants you to do, not your ideas. You know, and that may seem strange to you at first, but we adjust. You know, I'll give you an example. We decorated our living room for Christmas. You know, it was like the boxes of Christmas decorations exploded in our living room. It's all over the place. We even moved our couches. And so at first, when I would walk through the living room early in the morning and it's still dark, it's kind of different. The couches are in a different place, and so I was a little bit timid. But then, weekend before last, when we put everything away and put the couch back where it goes, it was a bit strange again. But you adjust. You know, it maybe it takes a day or two, and you go, oh yeah, this is the way things are. My point is that don't start something and then just give up after a day or two because it's different, or you know, maybe there's a small challenge or something. Forge ahead and you know, keep at it. It makes a difference. You'll settle in, and it really will. It will change you. So, you know, I think that as you become more intentional with your time, that you'll see not only personal benefits, you know, maybe you're going to get more things done, maybe you're going to have less stress because you got more things done, you crossed more things off your list, but you're going to see, and this is what matters, you're going to see more done for the kingdom when you intentionally spend time in God's Word, when you intentionally spend time just talking to Him, just listening to Him. That's when you'll see the kingdom grow. You'll see lives changed. When you're intentional with your love, you're going to get to experience firsthand the joy of being a blessing or an encouragement to other people. And if you've never had that joy of being a blessing to someone else, I hope you get to really soon, because it's the best. It really is. When you're intentional with your giving, you know, we talked about the Bible's full of commands, but it's also full of blessings in regards to giving. You're going to see that. You're going to see the provision of God in your life when you are faithful and regular and intentional with the way you give to Him. And when we intentionally disciple others, that's where it can get really exciting, because then if you start talking about exponential growth, if you disciple, you know, maybe it's only three or four people, but then if they go and tell three or four other people, and then, you know, all of a sudden, a couple years down the road, I mean, who knows how many lives can have been changed and touched because you made the concerted effort to do what Jesus commissioned us to do, and that's make disciples. So I want to remind you, Paul said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And Jesus himself said in Revelation 21:5, behold, I make all things new. So, God is going to do a new thing. He doesn't want to sit around and talk about the good old days. He wants to do new things. And God's new things are exciting things. He's making trails and pathways, roads, highways in the wilderness. He makes a river in the desert. When you think about that, I've never personally been to like the Sahara Desert, but I've been to some places in West Texas that I kind of feel like are the desert. And I think about a river through that place. That's what God does when He does new things. So we got to be ready. We got to be prepared for the new things that God wants to do this year. And I think one of the best places to start is by being intentional. So if you would bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this new year that we have ahead. for all of the opportunities, the lives that can be touched and changed this year, Father, because of our obedience to You. We intentionally submit to You and say that You are Lord of our lives. We give You our time, our love, our finances. We want to make disciples. We want people to be more like You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.